Amen. I'm going to go ahead and preach. Etta Homan's going to make the announcements about the 5K next week in the church picnic. But I want to start a series called No Judgment Zone. And I posted it for a reason. Planet Fitness opened, when did it open? Earlier this year, Barbara? January. We joined in January. I start going in June, July. Anybody had a membership you're paying for? Anybody got a membership that you're paying for? You ain't been. They just taking money out your account. You keeping them open, but you ain't going. And I've been going to Planet. I started about 2 months ago. She's been going for a while. 5:30 in the morning. And I've lost 15 pounds since I've been going. Give me a hand. But I didn't lose it because I went to the gym. I lost it because I went to Africa. And I didn't like their food. Y'all want to lose weight? Go somewhere you don't like food. I got sick. That's why I lost weight. But I'm going to keep going to the gym because it works. But here's the truth. It's hard to go. I love the results, Brooke. I love going. I love how I feel. I love how my shirts fit. I love walking up a flight of steps. I ain't breathing hard. I did a jump and a shout a minute ago, and I can still talk. I don't need no breather. I be up here sometimes getting excited, and I calm y'all down because I can't breathe. I fool around, pass out. He felt the spirit. I ain't feel nothing but no air. But I feel good right now. You feel good when you go. But every morning when I get ready to go, it's always a struggle. Every morning, 5:30 comes. Barbara's up. She's gone out the door. I see you. Maybe. I tell myself I'm going to work out at noon, but a double stack at Wendy's sound better. And then night come, I'm supposed to go. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to make it tonight. It's always an excuse. And then there's always when you go in there, you have these reminders of why you need to go. And I tell myself, I ain't trying to be Mr. Olympia. And you go in there and see this dude just throwing weights around. I'm like, see, that's what's wrong now. And you walk in, and there's all these things that tell you why you shouldn't be going. I went in there, and I was going to use the elliptical machine one day. And I got on three of them, and I was nervous. I pushed the buttons, and the light didn't come on. I went to the next one, pushed the buttons. I said, these folks in here laughing at me. Don't they know the elliptical machines don't work? And finally, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, you got to start pedaling first. I said, I thought all y'all stuff broke in here. But it's that embarrassment. That's the why I didn't even want to go in the first place. I didn't want them in there laughing at me and all these things. And not only that, but they say, I walked in and they said, you belong here. It felt good. That's where I got this sermon series from. And then it said, judgment-free zone. I said, that's my kind of place right there. It's judgment-free zone. I belong here. But you got mirrors everywhere to remind me of why I need to be in here. One day, Wilk, I was on the machine, and I looked at myself in the mirror and said, I just need to go home. Y'all ain't going to admit this, but you ever look at yourself and be like, you got to be ashamed of yourself. Yes, all them cakes, cookies, and pies, and Miss Shirley bringing me German chocolate cake that ain't going to go home. They're going to stay here at my office. Like, all this stuff just builds up. And then I said, if it's a no judgment zone, why you got mirrors everywhere? And I found out why they have mirrors in gyms, and it's not so you can look at yourself at what's going on. It's so that you can make sure you're doing things right. To make sure you have the proper technique, not to be vain. And the reality is many of us struggle with the same thing in church. I already know it's going to happen when I walk in here. And you got all these things going on. But I want BFF to be a judgment-free zone. And I thought, that's what we're about, and that's the environment I want to create. A mirror so you can see where God wants you to be, not feel bad for where you are right now. So there are three things that I took away that before I get into my sermon, I want to tell you. The first thing is standards with no shame. Standards with no shame. You look at the gym, and if they have no judgment, what's the standard? A judgment, in many instances, to decide what's right and what's wrong. And many of us argue over what's right and wrong. Well, if there is no standard, no judgment there, what's the standard in the gym? The standard is the weight machine. It don't care what size you are. It don't care what gender you are. When you get a hold of the standard will change you. When you work out that weight machine, I don't care if you do 3 sets of 10 pounds or 3 sets of 100. It'll get a hold of you because it's like the truth. It has no emotions. It'll work if you work it. So there's no shame with the standard. It just said, work me so I can get you into what I want you to be. You know what we're afraid of in church? You're afraid when you walk in. What are you going to preach on? You're afraid to be judged. You're afraid that somebody's going to impose their opinion on you about what you should be doing, so you don't engage with God because of your fear of what somebody else's standard may be. Not only is there standards with no shame, but they say there's rules with no judgment. Now, if we got a judgment-free zone, everywhere I looked in there, they had a rule. One of the biggest signs I saw was no phone conversations except for in the lobby. I thought this was a judgment-free zone. It's supposed to be freedom. Well, I went into the locker room and they said, we are not responsible for lost or stolen goods. It's a judgment-free zone and we free in here. I want to leave my wallet right here and leave my clothes right here. And they want to tell you this, the environment is free, but everybody in here ain't. Can I tell you about church? We free in here, but people beside you are not free. We dealing with some stuff, brother, sister. And in the environment, you got to have rules so you can be safe. Do you know why I trust my son to go to school every day? Because the principals don't play. They got rules. Everybody ain't walking in the front door. I forgot my driver's license one day, and I had to give Isaiah something. They wouldn't let me give him nothing. I said, but you done seen me walk in here. I ain't seen you walk in without your license. I felt offended. No, without rules, there's havoc. Without rules, you couldn't drive down the road. Man, without rules, you wouldn't trust somebody to stay in their lane. You need rules to create safety, not to ruin your life. There's rules with no judgment, and then there's training with no criticism. There's a difference between getting someone to develop into their best them versus judging them for being the person they are. If you work out with a trainer, they are not easy on you. You about to fall out and pass out. You got one more in you. Push it. Okay. Will you let me alone? I'm about to pass out. I'll pick you up. It's the difference between them pushing the best out of you. Hey, look at you. You're just horrible. That's the reason what's wrong with you now. You wouldn't eat so many cakes and cookies. You wouldn't be about to pass out. That's training with criticism. And BFF, I want to create an environment because just like going to the gym, I had so many excuses. People got so many excuses, and they're real, about it was hard for some of you to wake up, come to church this morning. I don't have nothing to wear. When the reality is, you ain't got to wear a suit. Wear your T-shirt and jeans. I just want you to come. Because you're going to come as you are, but you're not going to stay as you are. And I ain't talking about your clothes. I'm talking about your heart. I'm not worried about what you got on. I'm concerned about your soul. They stay too long. Count your watch. In 33 minutes, we're going to be walking out of here. We got a good hour, an hour and 15 minutes. Y'all be in church all day. I don't want people in my business. You post your business. I'm going to leave that one alone. I don't like the music. I don't like the preaching. If you don't, I like them to hack when they talk. I don't understand all that. I need somebody to talk to me. If he talk, he's boring. It's always something when it comes to, I already know I'm wrong, and I don't need nobody to tell me I'm wrong. You all right in here? I can go to heaven from home. You can. You can sit there in the bed and go from heaven, as long as you know Jesus. But since you're not going to be in heaven by yourself, won't you go with some more people? There's so many standards that people put on church, but in church, I want to have standards with no shame. Church people, when they hear me post a message, and I already got one thing, like, you got to be careful when you say no judgment zone, shame, all this stuff. That's what's wrong with the world now. We watering down the gospel, and people need the truth. Really? We do. But the reality is, what people are afraid of is that you're going to create this thing where everybody can be saved, like Jesus didn't die for all of us. They create church like it's this elite country club where only the perfect people. Do you go to the gym before you in shape or to get in shape? They say things like, man, there's a bunch of hypocrites in there. They are. They in here. You look at them in the mirror every day. They're on your job. They're in the club. They're at the Kroger. They're at the Walmart. The Walmart. They're at the Winn-Dixie if you live in East Tennessee. They at the Cold Stone Creamery. They everywhere you go. But there's a standard that we have in church. And that standard is this, the Word of God. When the Word of God gets in your heart, I am a church boy. I grew up in church. Mom and daddy had us in church all the time. They used to have revivals where they brought us in our pajamas because they knew we were going to be in there all night. And I used to get saved because I was afraid and all this. And I used to throw away all my R&B mixtapes because we didn't have just tapes. I had Jodeci, I had Boyz II Men, I had NWA, all on this no reason at all. And I get saved and throw all my music away. It's Jesus only. And after 2 weeks after I didn't die, I wish I hadn't threw that tape away. You know where I really got saved? I got saved at an apartment complex shooting basketball by myself. And God got a hold of my heart. And I heard every sermon. I heard every lesson that had been taught to me. And it made sense out there. And I jumped and skipped all over that basketball court. You know how you shout when ain't nobody looking? Yes, sir. Y'all cute with it in church when everybody looking. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, but when you by yourself. Some of you say, I don't shout like that at home. But when you twerk at home. Like nobody's watching. Oh, I'm going to let them have it. But when God really gets a hold of your heart, watch this. He sets a standard. Not because I'm preaching to you, because he's real. Because I know him. He sets the standard. In church, we have rules, but there is no judgment. We have to have rules. Because if we don't, we have chaos. Imagine this. Somebody just, I got a song on my heart, and you just start singing it. No, ma'am. No, sir. Got a praise team. You come up here and sing with them. I don't like the song they're singing. Were you going to sing in your heart today? Why are you so hard? Because some of you were 1 foot out the door when you walked in. He said, one thing I don't like. They do one thing. I'm already. What you got to say today, Reverend? You're skeptical. And you have a right to be. Because everybody doesn't handle the gospel right. People abuse people with the gospel. Yes, so you got to create rules so you don't run people off with our weirdness. Because church people, you know we can get weird. Oh, you know we can get weird. We blame everything on the devil. Y'all, the devil attacking my car. My engine out there knocking. That ain't the devil. You ain't got no oil. Ooh, the devil is busy on my job. You ain't been on time. And you got an attitude. You open up the door and let him in. So you have to create rules, and you can't let random stuff happen. In church, we have training with no criticism. It's not what is said sometimes, it's how it's said. And preachers, we're bad for this. We preach like our life is way up here, and we're trying to help the peoples and bring you up to where we are. Later for that, I'm going through just like you going through. I'm the visible and probably the loudest person in this church, but it don't mean my life is perfect. Ask her. You don't condemn people when they walk in. You know what you do to condemn buildings? You tear them down. Some of you said, and then I hear it. Man, that's what's wrong. You guys are watering it down. Preach about sin, preacher. Tell them how bad they are, and there's a hell that's enlarging itself. You didn't even like that growing up. You don't want to get beat up every Sunday when you go to church. Yeah, that's a reality. Sin is wrong. Hell is real. But there's a heaven that's greater. And I want to tell you about life. And God created you for a purpose. And when you get your purpose so in your heart, that's some stuff that's going to take care of itself. And we do things. We preach hard at people. You better praise God. Quiet over here. Good as God been to you. You want to lift your hand. As folks wish they had a hand to lift. Sitting here, breath in your body, and you won't praise God. He been good. You don't have to have no job. He put food on your, there's starving kids in Africa that want the food on your table. You're like, can you send it to them? I'll just send it to them and just stop. No, but I bet you'll praise God when I say, think of all the stuff you done that God ain't never told nobody. Think of the fact that he gave you chance after chance after chance, and the fact that there's still life in your body. Ain't nobody got to tell you to praise God. You just think of the goodness of Jesus. And all that is done for me. And I have to say, y'all sit down. I got to preach. Why? Because he's been good to me. Training disciples according to Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I have for you. Plans not to harm or hurt you, but bring you to my desired end. Let me get where I'm going. Satan does not want you. John chapter 11. Satan does not want you to connect with the right source. He wants you afraid of healthy sources. He doesn't want you. I can do it by myself, and you probably could. But here's the reality. If you could have fixed it by now, you could have. He wants to point out all the problems of church and all the problems of people in church. And he shows you all. Watch what happens. I'm very careful about what people say about preachers. Because when they expose a preacher, something going on in their life, they don't just say that preacher. I told you all preachers wasn't no good. I'm in at all. I told you all Christians wasn't no good. And y'all, if y'all are a regular church attendee, if you believe God, can we cut out some of this foolishness? We got enough that we're going through hell from the enemy. We don't have to get hell to each other. Pray your brother through. Pray your sister through. You find out something about them, cover them in prayer. Consider yourself. Yeah, think about it. We all have struggles. I want to show you what God wants to do through the church through a method called belong, believe, and behave. John chapter 11, I'm going to illustrate this to a man by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus died. Have you ever heard people pray and you say, can you say the grace? And they say, yeah, Jesus. Well, I'm not sure what they got to do with food, but this is where it got it from right here. Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus, and he wept over Lazarus because he died, and God wouldn't let him go kill him. So he wept over his grave, and here we show Jesus show up at the dead tomb of Lazarus, whom he loves. Jesus said this, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, do I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? That's a message for somebody in here. If you can just believe, you're going to see the glory of God. So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you because you've heard me. I knew that you have always, that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I say it, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, crying, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Then the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. There's a method that I wanted that we use here at this church for you getting to know God. It's called belong, believe, and behave. Most people focus on behavior modification when it comes to church. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. Quit doing this. You behave out of what you believe. You believe based off what you belong to. Let's start with the belong part. Jesus said, remove the stone, and he called Lazarus forth. Notice that Lazarus came forth after they removed the stone. Lazarus heard something calling his name. You're here this morning because you heard something calling your name. I don't understand all there is perhaps about church, or I've heard things about this church. I heard things about church people, but something said you need to go today. Something says you need to be in the house of the God. Something says I'm more than this depression. I am more than this oppression. Something is calling your name. You felt like staying away, but you could not shake it. Something is calling your name. But notice what Jesus said. Jesus told them, remove the stone. He didn't go in the grave and get Lazarus. Lazarus heard something calling him. You know why you can't stay depressed? You know why you can't stay in your cave? Because something's calling your name. You could be working what you feel like is a dead-end job, but something says, I called you. You're better than this. There's more to life than this debt, and you feel something calling you. Belonging is this. Belonging is Jesus speaking to people to remove external barriers that keep you from experiencing deliverance, breakthrough, and growth that you know exist in your heart. BFF, I want our church to be a stone-removing church. I normally say stuff like this in leadership meeting, but we come in here to remove stones so everybody can experience the glory. The reason why I don't want you to encounter an attitude in the parking lot. The reason why we spend hours praying to preach. The reason why I want you to experience something in praise and worship is that I don't want a stone getting in the way of you getting to God. The reason why we're on service reps, be nice to people when they come in. And people say stuff all the time, like they ain't even speak to me when they walk in. Can I tell you the truth? A lot of people that don't speak to you, they probably not even thinking about you. People say, man, they know what I'm going on in my life. People got so many problems, they really don't even know about your problems. That person that didn't speak to you probably worried about how to get this kid to behave. I got this bill due. They got so many things on their mind. But fast forward to where I am right now. We want to remove stones. The reason why we have children's ministry, and we sure could use some of your help, is that so you can sit in here and learn, and they can learn at the same time. Somebody say, we remove stones. I want to create, belonging is about creating an environment for you to dream. I'm not novice to the fact that many of you exist in negative environments. People telling you how stupid you are, reminding you of your mistakes. You get ready to dream. They tell you about how wrong you are, how crazy you are, how that would never happen in this place. Something's going to come alive inside of you. You're going to start dreaming beyond your situation, and you're going to wake up and say, wait, I don't make but $12 an hour. I don't care what you make. You'll never have a dream that you can afford. You always have something God can afford. You'll see beyond your mistakes, but I'm struggling with this. God don't care about your struggle. He'll work you through it. I want to create an environment where there's anointing and there's power, because Satan tells you, you don't belong. You're not like the rest of them church people. You didn't grow up like this. They got their life together. You don't know how to shout. They clapping like this. You like this. It don't matter. We sound like popcorn in here. Our children's church director, many of you have heard a testimony, many of you haven't. She grew up in an environment completely different. She got pregnant at the age of 14. She got pregnant at the age of 14, and she was here when we used to do baby showers. So we tried to do them for all the mothers. There was a lady, and I'll be honest, just because of my background, I didn't do this. There was a lady here that had gotten pregnant, and she said, we need to do a shower for her. And I said, I'm struggling because I don't think we do showers for mothers who had children, you know, outside of, you know, they weren't married and stuff like that. And she said, I'm glad I didn't go to your church growing up. And I said, what do you mean? She said, you know why I got saved? She said, I got saved because when I was at 14, the women at the church pulled me in, threw me a shower, and loved on me. And I had two more children after that, but I eventually married the baby's father. And they're married, and they're sitting back there working today because somebody loved on them. And I repented for how judgmental I had been, like I had never made mistakes. Mine just wasn't visible. Hers was. The reality is we judge people and we put them in a place and they'll never get to see Jesus, because when they're coming out of the tomb, we put the stone in front of them. We are not going to put stones in front of people trying to get to Jesus at this church. We'll take whatever criticism comes, but I believe that God is the one that changes us. Somebody say belong. Then you got to believe. Believing is this. Notice when Lazarus came forth, he didn't come forth free. He come forth bound. Believing unwraps your personal struggles that have you bound. Believing involves God using people to help you understand why you're bound and teaching you how to do the right thing so that you can believe. Jari, can you wrap yourself up? Normally, illustration, Jari would already come out wrapped up. But here's the truth about most of our troubles. It ain't the devil. We put ourselves in mess. We got ourselves in trouble. You wrapped yourself up. And not only that, but he's going to put the blinders on his eye. Jari, you're going to have to trust me. You Lazarus this morning, and you're going to hear me calling your name. You're going to hear me, and you're going to have to follow my voice to get to where I'm going. Jari, I need you to take two steps forward. Jari, I need you to take two more steps forward. I need you to turn to your right. And I need you to keep coming forward. Keep coming forward, hearing my name, hearing me call your name. I need you to stop. Do you know how much time it would save if I could just go get Jari and bring him up here? But just like Jari has to trust me, I got to trust him. God is the same way. Do you know how easy it would be for God to go get you where you are in your situation? And God's sitting in heaven like, I just need to go get him and fix it myself. But if God fix it, you'll never learn the lesson. God said, just like I want them to trust me, I got to trust them. Yeah. Notice God didn't get Lazarus in the grave. He called him out. Some of you are sitting here now, if God fix it, I know it's going to be all right. It ain't going to get fixed till you get up and hear God calling your name and start walking forward. Jari, I need you to turn to your left. Jari, I need you to turn to your right. I got that wrong. Glad I ain't God. I need you to turn to your right. Jari, I need you to walk forward. You got to trust. Don't look down. You got to trust me on this. Stop. I need you to take a step up and balance yourself. Now, Jari, this is going to be tricky. I need you to take your left foot and go to the left a little bit at a left diagonal when you step up. Step up. Balance yourself. Follow my voice. Follow me. Follow me. Follow my voice. Follow my voice. Follow my voice. Turn around. Follow my voice and stop. Whenever Lazarus came forward, he was not free. Lazarus came out of where he was bound. Whenever God calls you out, you always look like what you come from. But notice what he told the people. He told the people, unbind him. The problem with many of us is we put more on people than they came in here with. Can I do a relationship thing for a moment? Never date somebody to put more on you than what you came with. You got enough baggage of your own. You don't want somebody else's. Let me go back to where I'm from right now. And there's a two-step process to being free. Believing is this. It's being unbound from the things inside of you. Now, Jari can praise God. Praise him. Lift your hands, Jari. I know you don't shout, do all that stuff like that. But lift your foot up a little bit. And this is what many of us do in church. Oh, pray me a little shout music. Keith, I'm free. No longer bound. You're just shouting and you're praising God. But you wonder why you keep going through the same thing over and over again. Because it's not enough to be bound to get free physically. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Can I tell you what happens to a package that gets delivered and it has no address that it's supposed to? It always gets returned to sender. And the reason why many of us keep going back to the same stuff is that you know where you came from, but you don't know where you're going. In order to figure out to be free for real, you got to get free in your mind. Your mind has to begin to think different. God delivered you from certain situations. Now you got to get that stuff out of you. God delivered you from running game and getting over on people. Now it's so easy to resort back when things get tough to what God delivered you from. He said, I got to get your mind out just like I got your body out. Because if not, you're going to recreate what it is that you lost. You ever seen somebody, God delivered them? You live in a horrible situation. And now you done got a little money and moving into a neighborhood. And now everybody's car used to break down being in your front yard where you used to live. And now you got about 3 or 4 cars in your new neighborhood the same way. You can't take your old baggage into a new place. You got to get your mind delivered so that God can set you free. You got to believe the right thing. And here's what people do. People help you understand, the godly people, the why and the how. One of the biggest things I ever heard, this guy was telling me about this couple that was getting married. They got married, and about a year into it, they were about ready to kill each other and get a divorce. And they said, we don't understand it. We listened to the preacher. The preacher said, don't have sex before marriage, and we didn't have sex before marriage. We abstained ourselves. We did everything right, and now we're ready to kill each other. What's wrong? God, you said, that's only part of the story. Just because you abstain yourself before marriage, and I believe you should practice it before you get married, it don't guarantee you a healthy marriage. It don't address your selfishness. It don't address the fact that you get an attitude every time something don't go your way. It don't address the fact that you can be immature in the area. There is more to the situation, and we're blaming God for a lot of stuff that we don't know the full story to. And the self-righteous, judgmental part of them did this. We know plenty of couple. They were like rabbits. They just did a whole bunch of stuff before they got married. Why are we going through this? That's what church people do. God, I've been praying my whole life. Why am I going through this? I've been in church when nobody else was in church. I fasted. How am I going through this? When did you become God? To put a standard on the world based off your experience. What believing does is that God unwraps you physically and mentally. So you unbelieve the wrong things and you believe the right things so that you can live free. My last point I'm through is this. That's where behavior comes in. Right behavior is about Jesus creating an environment for you to belong so that you can live free from barriers to growth. And you believe, and your believing causes you to live unbound. In most settings, and where I would, years ago before God changed my heart, I'd have spent 20 minutes on this telling you what you should and what you should not do. Because your question is, I want to be close to God. Do I need to stop doing this? Is drinking a sin? Should I stop smoking weed? Or should I stop doing this? I think that's the wrong question. I think you get hooked up with God. You believe what his word says. And when God gets a hold of your heart, he going to tell you what you should do. You know what the challenge with many of us has? We do things without a conviction for doing them. And that's called manipulation. You do things because you're convicted in your heart to do them. And when you're convicted in your heart, your behavior begins to line up with what God said, not what a preacher said. And that may sound weird coming from a preacher, but I am preaching not to be the voice of God in your life, but that you can hear God clearly speaking to you. Yes, and when God speaks to you, trust me, buddy, it will get your attention. When God gets a hold of you, oh, you talking about tears and crying. You could be riding down the road. He said, you know, you need to apologize for that. I don't want to, God. I need to ignore them for about another week for what they did to me. And God said, uh-uh, you can't do that. God, I want to go punch them in the mouth. Y'all looking at me strange. God said, you pray for them right. I ain't praying for them, God. Pray for them right now. Jesus, touch the little ignorant people. Oh, but when God get a hold of your heart, God, I don't know why they do crazy stuff. I don't know why I do crazy stuff, but touch their family. Don't let them destroy themselves. That's love. That's a conviction from God. They can't nobody teach you. That comes from the Holy Spirit instructing you on how to live your life. You belong before you believe, and you believe before you behave. Stand to your feet all over the building. You bow your head for a moment. We're about to get out of here. Some of you in here are struggling because you love God. L-U-H. You love him. But you got some stuff you don't understand, some stuff that you're not really sure about. If you didn't love God, you wouldn't be here. You have this internal struggle of trying to work through where you are in life. And I want to tell you, in the right place today. Your lack of understanding is the beginning of God's wisdom in your life. And I want to tell you, surely, I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm going to lead you to a connection with God where you know that you're loved, you're accepted, where you start to believe what he says about you and your behavior. That takes care of itself. Father, my prayer now, if you're in this place today and you say, you know what? I'm not saved. I'm not really connected to God, and I want to ask God to forgive me of my sin. And I want to be in a relationship with a God who loves me, not one I'm scared of, but one that loves me, one who cares for me and has a purpose for me. If that's you in here and you've never accepted Jesus in your heart or you walked away from him, can you slip your hand up? I'm going to lead you to God right where you are. I see you. Can you just repeat after me? Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I acknowledge I've sinned. I've done things not pleasing in your sight. God, forgive me. Set me free. I confess Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I'm saved. I am forgiven. No more shame. No more guilt. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for every person in this room who has personal struggles, but we don't trust people. We have a problem with the religious system that we see. I want to challenge you to put your eyes on Jesus. You can't trust everybody, but you can trust somebody. There's a part of you that's longing for connection, that's longing to be a part of something bigger than you. Father, take our eyes off distractions. Show us a safe place. Show us a safe place that we can unload and become who you called us to be. We thank you for the unwrapping that's happening for us physically with our habits, and mentally with the strongholds in our mind. In Jesus' name. Even as I'm praying, some of you came this week for the first time, and some of you have been coming for a while. I want to challenge you to keep coming. Something's going to happen in your life. I can't explain it to you. I don't know how it's going to happen. But just like Lazarus heard Jesus calling him from the grave, there's something calling you out of where you are into a place of purpose, to a place of destiny. And we are going to remove the stones for you to experience freedom in the name of Jesus. I thank you now. Amen. Shake somebody's hand and tell them you belong here.